Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from Kennewick, from the great studios here at KGDN. And I got to tell you, I'm excited. It's a new year, which means we have a fresh start to continue to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Once again, we're brought to you by Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. And it's not about right or left. It's about right. And it's about wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but our hope being in Jesus Christ. And I hope everybody out there can say amen to that, especially with everything going on in the world today and all of the divisiveness and vitriol and anger out there. Let's just focus on Jesus, right? We get distracted too much. There's all these... I was at a conference. There was a bunch of theological debates about different things. And, you know, we can have the perfect theology. We can be the most well-read scholar on the Bible and still miss Jesus Christ. We can't let ourselves fall into that trap because it is a trap. We need to walk in the truth and we need to walk in the Spirit. And if we do that, we really will expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I want to focus this year on Luke 17:20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, the Greek word there actually is entos. There's only one other place in the New Testament that it's used, and it's also in Matthew, talking about the cleaning of the inside of a cup. So, quite literally, he's saying the kingdom of God is inside you. And if you understand this, if you get this principle, this idea, that every single human being now today has the potential of being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and also the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth, then you understand why we believe in protecting the sanctity of life, both at conception all the way to natural death. Why we believe in protecting property rights so people can expand the gospel of the kingdom. Why we believe in protecting the right of liberty and the right of self-defense, because we are protecting that potential of every human being to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. If that makes sense to you, send me a message on Facebook as well. Let me know that you heard that. And I really appreciate all the messages out there from the truckers that listen to this, not only live, but also on podcast, because we're reaching all the way across the United States. And actually, we have listeners in Europe, too. So thank you, everybody out there right now. I hope you've had a happy new year. I hope you've spent it with family. And it was a time to draw together closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. That brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. I want to go into a few things that are happening. One of them is kind of a national thing, but I'm going to save that for just a little bit later because I don't know when it's exactly going to happen. But I want to talk about a fresh crisis in the Middle East right now between the Turks and the United States. Erdogan is refusing to see the visiting U.S. advisor. He is again threatening the Kurds. And it's interesting right now because Russia has been put into a very awkward position. They are actually ending up defending the Kurds. Why? Because the Kurds are a buffer against further expansion of not only Turkey, but Iran. And we are supporting the Kurds because we traditionally have. So Turkey flexing its muscles and essentially saying to John Bolton, to President Trump, we're not going to see you, and we're going to call your bluff and see what happens here in the Middle East with a U.S. withdrawal. All right. I want to also mention something that President Trump is expected to announce toward the end of this show. At 5 o'clock, he is expected to announce a national state of emergency in regards to the border wall. What that gives him the power to do is it gives him the power to actually build that wall using different funds without the approval of Congress. Many are expecting that that's what the announcement is going to be about. Also, Pompeo is in the Middle East in Jordan. Now, the Secretary of State has been throughout the Middle East, but particularly to Jordan, because Jordan announced about 3 months ago that it was beginning to align with Turkey. For those of you that understand history, you understand that the Hashemite Kingdom, what is now present-day Jordan, used to be the caretakers of Mecca and Medina in Islam. And aligning with Turkey means that they think Turkey is going to be the next caliphate and that Saudi Arabia is on the wane. Secretary of State Pompeo obviously going there to put pressure on them to align against Turkey and to come back into the fold with what is becoming a very clear alliance between Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and Israel. Also on the international front, Venezuela. This quote from a Venezuelan patriot there that they regretted ever even allowing a gun ban because they didn't have a chance to fight and defend themselves. Very, very interesting that that actually made mainstream media here in the United States of America. The crisis there to epic proportions, people flooding over the borders into Colombia and other surrounding countries. But this young man saying, we didn't even have a chance to fight. And really speaking to the United States of America with the fall of socialism happening in Venezuela before our very eyes. Hundreds and thousands of businesses, their doors closed, tens of thousands of people displaced, people doing some pretty horrendous things just to get food down there. I think it's a cautionary tale for us here in the United States of America. Also on the international front, in Ukraine, it looks like several cyber intelligence organizations now again backing up the fact that Russia launched cyber attacks before the Sea of Azov incident that happened here recently. So one of the interesting things is I had a report actually come out of Europe. They talked about a cyber attack being launched against NATO and United States military installations in Europe. And that did not make the news. But these organizations seeming to back up the fact that cyber attacks did occur before the incident, which means that the incident or confrontation very likely was pre-planned. Also on the international front, speaking with my great friend Mark Sutherland over there in England, he's confident that Britain is headed toward a no-deal Brexit. In other words, they are going to leave the European Union without any sort of a compromise deal. Many in France now following suit, and Macron coming out just yesterday saying there are going to be new measures cracking down on this yellow vest protest that has spread it across that country, which is essentially an anti-globalist or anti-global government move. Why are these guys doing it? Well, Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, Northern Italy, and now all of Italy are coming into the fold on this, saying the immigration crisis has reached epic proportions, and this is part of globalism trying to draw us into a global government. We do not want to have any part of it. That is sweeping across Europe, and we might be seeing the beginning stages of the dismantling of the European Union. On the national front, as I mentioned, President Trump expected here just in a little while to announce a national state of emergency in regards to the border situation. I also want to highlight a couple things that are happening here in America and around the country. And everybody's focused on football today, but there's a heck of a lot more happening out there than just football. Can we focus on expanding the kingdom and not just get stuck on football? Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. I don't know. But I do want to talk about the fact that here in the United States right now, we have conclusively proven through Presidential Security Directive 11 that President Obama signed that it was a policy of the United States of America to support the Muslim Brotherhood, not just in the Middle East, but their proxy organizations here in America, such as the Council of American Islamic Relations and North American Islamic Trust. The fact that is even being talked about should be shocking, I think, to every American, that we actually had a policy to support an organization tied directly, an international organization tied directly to terrorism. You have other countries that have declared them a terrorist organization, but we're refusing here in the United States to do so. I think we need to change that. Also on the national front, more indications that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise interest rates in an effort to what appears to be drive the economy down prior to the next election. Some people say that's a conspiracy against Trump. I'm not really yet ready to say that, but I am going to say that it is really pointing in that direction right now. And if they continue to do this, it looks like it's a concerted effort. Now, the one saving grace that we have right now is the fact that our gas prices, due to agreements with Saudi Arabia and other things, have lowered to such a level that our economy is dramatically improving, especially the trucking industry. I mean, a dollar down on a gallon of diesel is really making the trucking industry profitable right now. And I'm just happy that that's occurring. And everybody out there that's driving truck and listening to the show, thank you for doing what you do. Lastly, on the national front, this is an interesting thing. The Democrat Party is being investigated for using KGB tactics, and these are not my words, against former senatorial candidate Roy Moore. Wow. I'm going to keep my eye on this one and let you know what the result of this is, because it, you know, they always say, oh, they start an investigation, but you rarely hear what the conclusion of that is. All right, on the regional front, next week, starting Monday, we are starting session in Olympia, Washington. Huge battle on our hands in regards to everything from life and the right to bear arms to one of the more important things that's going to be coming up in this next session, and that is just protecting religious liberty. There is a huge assault all the way across the board. Every bad idea from the last 10 years that died is coming back up on the table. It's like a zombie coming back up. And we have to fight it. That means all of us. It's not going to be just a few legislators or one legislator. It's going to be all of us fighting together. And you got some great legislators down here in the Tri-Cities like Representative Brad Klippert that are fighting their hardest to maintain religious liberty in the state of Washington and other states around the country. And I was just in North Carolina. Other states around the country are watching to see what happens in Washington because they fear it may spread throughout the rest of the country if it gets a foothold in Washington state. Also on the regional front, a Avista Hydro One deal was denied by the Washington UTC and also denied by Idaho. Looks like that deal is in significant trouble right now, and a lot of people not liking the fact that a foreign government could own a significant majority stake in critical U.S. infrastructure seems to be one of the main reasons why these deals are being turned down both in Washington and Idaho. All right. On the local front, want to talk very quickly about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center is facing another lawsuit, this time from a lawyer, and it's not me, but a lawyer that was allegedly defamed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're going to keep our eyes on this $6 million lawsuit in the works, and that's after a recent spate of lawsuits against the Southern Poverty Law Center. Interestingly enough, I confirmed today that the Southern Poverty Law Center was actually the ones that were sending letters around the state of Washington to try to besmirch my reputation and try to get donors to pull their funding from me. I'm not going to say who, but I will say that some lobbyist organizations did pull their money. But the problem is the Southern Poverty Law Center doesn't seem to have made a dent with all of you great folks who supported me in the last election. So I really appreciate that. All right. That's the briefing. And remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. If you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And also, if you miss this, you can listen to the repeat on the whole ACN network at 9 o'clock, or you can go to iTunes or Podbean and download the podcast and listen at your leisure, or as you drive across North Dakota and South Dakota where there aren't any radio stations. All right. My guest today is a good friend, Bryson Still. He's the internship director here in the Tri-Cities for Hungry Generation Church. Bryson, thanks for joining me much on Patriot Radio. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Hungry Generation. You guys are making a lot of waves down here in the Tri-Cities, aren't you? So tell listeners a little bit about Hungry Gen.
Yeah, so Hungry Gen, we've been around since 2003. Our pastors are originally from Ukraine. They immigrated here in 1999, and our senior pastor, Pastor Vasily Parutyuk, he made it his goal when he came to America to essentially be a missionary to America, that the goal was not to come and start yet another Russian small community within the Tri-Cities, but to reach all of America. He's a man of vision, a man that is not afraid to stand up for what he believes in. Over the past 15 years or so, we've seen our church just grow in the supernatural, seeing God move in mighty ways, and God has been healing and delivering and setting people free. We've been seeing salvations almost weekly, and it's just been amazing.
You guys are really touching a lot of people, not just in Tri-Cities, but all over Eastern Washington, probably all over the world, right? And I appreciate that approach that America, and it really is now. I mean, I was talking to some folks in Ethiopia. America really is a mission field.
Oh, yeah.
And it should be treated like a mission field.
Yeah.
I want you to tell the listeners a little bit about some of the things you are doing to reach out to the community. And last half of the show, we'll get into a little bit of kind of the supernatural. We'll get into some of the healings and some of the things that are being seen, the power of God working in people's lives here in the community. But right now, if you could, talk about some of the programs. You have the internship program. You've got other programs. You're really reaching out to the community, and they've been very well received.
Yeah. So like you said, we have our internship program. That's basically a school for young adults to come to and really get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and get equipped to just be to live their life wholeheartedly for God and outrageously for God. And we also have our power evangelism, which has been what we call power evangelism, which has been absolutely phenomenal, where we go out onto the streets. We don't just preach truth, but we preach in the Spirit, in the power of God. And we preach showing them not just what the Word says, but we're actually showing them miracles. We're showing them straight up front the power of God, undeniable to them. And so that's really awesome. Another thing we have, we actually have a music ministry that is focused also on reaching the lost. We are now on our fourth EP, and our worship team, they actually released albums that are meant for not just believers, but the music is fun and exciting and something that's current with today's music genres, and something that's easy for people to listen to as a way of being a mission field for those who may never step into the church.
You know, there's a lot of people that have written off the millennial generation. They say, hey, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, when I was younger, people were like, that generation. You hear that again, you know, those young people, well, they're never going to learn. They're never going to listen, right? But this internship program, I mean, you got a lot of young people that are not just listening, not just learning. They're actually going out beyond the four walls of the church.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that really actually just can be accredited to our pastor, Pastor Vasily. Ever since the beginning in the founding of our church, he has been very youth-oriented. I mean, even to the point where he could have taken and been the main voice for the church. Yet when our pastor, Pastor Vlad, he was young at 13 years old, was having him going up and preaching and having these young men who are now our pastors go and preach. And we received so many criticisms just from that alone, having, hey, these young guys, they don't know, they're not experienced, don't put them out there, don't let them get exposed. And Pastor Vasily was adamant on making sure that the youth were rising up to the call that God has given us. And he hasn't despised our youth. And because of that, I really believe where we are today, you do see within our ministry, majority of our ministry is as youth. Over the years, we've grown in all generations, and even us youth, now we're getting older. However, I say older, you laugh at me, but you know, for us, you know, within the 30s, and it's been an amazing journey, and it's been an honor to be a part of the ministry and just see how that's really just taken a precedent in our church, where the youth are the ones rising up. They're the ones going out, praying for the sick, healing people, seeing people saved on the streets and bringing them in, people who would not see in church, people who are drug addicts, people who are prostitutes. Literally, I'm talking about the people who don't often get reached are the ones that are coming in getting saved.
People that were caught up in witchcraft and Satan worship and all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. We've seen quite a few people coming out of the occult, coming to the Lord, because they're seeing the other side. Because this world, I feel like right now the millennial generation is so obsessed with the supernatural, but they're going and they're searching in the wrong place. They're looking for horoscopes, psychics, people to come and tell them something about themselves, and they're looking for their identity, and they're looking in the wrong place. And I believe it's the church is the one that needs to rise up and show them the true God, the true supernatural, the one that's authentic. And I believe at Hungry Gen, that's what's happening.
You know, I could see it, and it's incredible, actually, to see so many young people not just coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord, just not, they're on fire. Like they're yeah. It's unquenchable. I mean, like you come into a room and they're just on fire, and they're like, "Can we pray for you? I'm the guest speaker, man." Yeah, you can pray. You know what I mean? It's just they're on fire for the Lord. I love it.
Oh yeah.
And they're going, and you guys, this is the other part that I love, that you're not just about education, you're about activation. You're about sending some of these kids out into, and they are kids, I can say that, I'm 44, okay? I'm looking at somebody else in the studio, I'm not, no names, but yeah, a little bit older than me too. So anyway, so you're sending these kids out into the world to actually experience the power of God, because the Spirit is not just in words, it's in power as well. And they're actually seeing it firsthand, and it's changing their lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just been amazing. And sometimes, you know, where I get astonished just by the faith that they come, like within our internship this year, in particular, this group that we have, we've just seen so many miracles, and they're really stepping into the prophetic, and God is using them prophetically, which is just amazing.
It is, and I've experienced that myself, actually, down at Hungry Gen. It's actually pretty wild. I mean, you're just, whoa, you know, and the Lord just really convicts you right on the spot about what to do, kind of gives you an assignment through prophecy.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But you guys are also engaging the community in very practical ways. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure with our internship was that it would not just be so super spiritual, pie in the sky, heaven, that we were no earthly good. And one of the things that we're implementing is we're going out into the community, and we're actually helping people on a very practical level with practical needs. Just this last Christmas season, we spent well over 2 weeks just at the Salvation Army and serving and helping and giving. And also during the summer, there's actually a community that's located near our church, elderly community that has a hard time taking care of themselves. And so we actually sent our interns out to go and just remodel things within their homes for free and just take care of them and bless them and love on them. And I think some of those things have been even more impactful at times. And so it's just been a beautiful marriage between the supernatural and the practical coming together and really bringing city transformation. That's our goal. That's our focus. We believe at Hungry Gen. We say this is our slogan, essentially, that thousands locally and millions globally. And on a global level, we're reaching many people through our live streams and through our podcasts and through other venues that we have on social media. But here locally, our focus is to win souls and make disciples. And we've done so through power evangelism, which is focused on the supernatural, and through by meeting that with giving and meeting people at their personal needs.
Now, many of you as listeners have heard me talk about the fact that if the church was to get involved in some of these practical things in the community, just meeting somebody like Sean. I was telling you the story earlier about Sean in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a guy we met on the street, talking to him for half an hour and buying him some food and giving him a hug, even though he had not showered in a very, 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 very long time. Yeah. And just loving on him, you know? And government programs don't have that same level of personal interaction, personal compassion. they don't have that same, hey, this is really what the need is. Because sometimes the need is just prayer or just to listen, right? And this is a way we can not just impact lives, but draw people in to go, hey, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about Jesus? I really want to know about him because you seem like a Christian that's a little bit different than all the other Christians, right?
Yeah.
What an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you guys have had many opportunities to do those kind of things. Tell the listeners a little bit about some of those programs, like going to the park or going and doing street ministry.
Yeah. So every Sunday we have a group that goes out, and everybody's welcome to go from the church that goes out. And we just essentially ready, pumped up, and on fire to just share the message of the gospel to people. And we go out into the parking lots and different parks and things like that, wherever God leads us to go. And we just look for people. You know, I think sometimes we try to over-spiritualize even witnessing, that it has to be some sort of like supernatural encounter, that God leads me to this person and, oh, that this was God's time, this is the divine appointment. But realizing we are the appointment everywhere we go, everywhere we step, we are the encounter for people. We have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And everywhere we go, we have the encounter. And so, you know, we go out into the parks and we just look for people. We see people who may have crutches, or people who we just go up to, hey, is there anything we can pray for you? Just opening up with that. And sometimes you get people who look at you like, I don't know about that. And the other times people just open up. You'd be surprised how many people actually respond to you when you just have the boldness to go up to them and say, hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? You would be surprised how many times people actually start, yeah, actually, my elbow hurts. Or, you know what? I've been going through this. My family needs prayer. And you pray with them right there on the spot. And they encounter the Holy Spirit. And they're like, whoa, I felt something when you prayed for me. What was that? And it opens up the opportunity to say, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God. He wants to touch you. He wants to know you personally. And it just goes from there. But I think of the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. He said about the Philistines, when he's looking over, he's like, we're gonna say something to him. And if they answer back, then we'll know that God has given them into our hands. He wasn't looking for any great sign. He was just looking, hey, if they respond, that I know that they're in our hands. And they went and they defeated the Philistines. I believe it's the same for us. All we got to do is throw out the word and say, hey, and if they respond to us, then we know that God has given to us. And going with that mindset that we're going to, what we have to share is powerful. What we have to share is life-changing. And it's going to be something that is the best thing for them. It totally changes the way you evangelize, the way you share Jesus, the way you witness. It becomes fun. It's not scary. It doesn't feel like a duty. It doesn't feel like a burden. It's a delight. So
it is a delight. And for everybody listening out there, I want to give you kind of a practical thing. You're sitting down at a restaurant and you're getting ready to pray over your food. Just ask your server, hey, we're getting ready to pray over our food right now. What can I pray for you about? And we did it today, and our server was like, that my family would be saved, right? She obviously was, and it's been a burden on her, and she's like, that my family would be saved immediately, bang. And we had that little window that was opened up to create that relationship and actually pray for her family right then and there, and it was over lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
Something simple.
Right, something simple. But she's going to remember that probably for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's living your Christianity beyond the four walls of church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about the confessing church, the bold church. Regardless of what the government was doing or popular culture was doing or whatever, you were still a Christian living your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. For you, in your own personal walk, how has the Lord done that in your life? Really made you bolder, giving you that confidence to step out beyond the four walls of the church?
Yeah, it actually goes back to when I was a teenager. That's when, for me, like I said, our church is very young, so that's when I really started getting introduced to this idea of witnessing to people and and sharing the gospel and doing it in power. And my first experience really was one time I was just on the bus going to school, and I was reading my Bible, and the Lord revealed to me in my heart that this person that was sitting in front of me, this girl that was sitting in front of me, had problems with her father. And it just came to me out of nowhere, and I was like, whoa, what is that? That was random. I thought it was just a thought of my own. And then out of nowhere, I just feel this quickening in my heart, and everything inside of me was saying, I want you to say this to her. And I was shutting that away and pushing that away. And I was like, Lord, if this is actually you, then she'll get off at the same bus stop as me. And I was just kind of making deals with God. This is my adolescent faith. I was just saying, Lord, if this is actually you, then I need you to make sure I know, because I don't want to say something about her dad and then have her freak out on me because I just said something that was totally wrong. And so to make a long story short, she's three bus stops ahead of me, but it just so happened to be that day. And I know, like clockwork, she always gets off at that bus stop. But that day, she happened to get off at my bus stop. And at this point, I'm sweating. I'm freaking out. like Jeremiah said, I got that fire shut up in my bones. If I don't say something, I feel like I'm going to die. And so I finally muster up the courage as we get off the bus stop and she's about to walk away. I was like, hey, as I'm trying to catch my breath, I just want to say something to you real quick. She's like, yeah, what do you want to say? Well, I'm learning to hear from God. And I feel like he wants me to tell you that what your father did to you in the past is not your fault. And that God, the Father in heaven, loves you so much. And then he wants to care for you. And immediately, boom, she just broke down in tears and just started sobbing and sobbing. Obviously, I realized I hit right. Hit the sore spot. And I just asked her if I could pray for her right then and there. And she said, yes, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And so I began to pray for her. And as I began to pray for her, I could just, and mind you, this is happening all at the bus stop. So people are all around looking at us like, what is happening? She's crying. He's got his hands on her. What's going on? I'm thinking in my head, people probably think this is crazy.
Right.
And, so I start praying for her, and as I'm praying for her, the presence of God just falls, and you could just feel it so thick. And as I'm praying for her because of the things that that the Lord had revealed to me, that there was abuse and such. And as I began praying, all of a sudden I start praying as if her dad had died, and I said, it's not her fault that her father died. And I said that, and that came out of my mouth, and I'm like, why did I say that? That was dumb. She never told me that he died. But when I said it, boom, yet it's like another layer just broke off. And she just began shaking uncontrollably. And the presence of God just got thicker and thicker. Now people are really, now we have an audience.
Right.
And and it was such a powerful experience. I've ended the prayer, gave her a huge hug. She actually ended up coming to church that week, got saved, gave her life to Christ, started serving the Lord. And from that point, it was just amazing. People around then began to see, whoa, that was weird. What's happening? I was actually talking to a friend shortly after that moment and found out later. She's a friend of mine who had known her, that girl, said, do you not know her situation? I'm like, no, I don't. And I was just completely clueless to anything that had to do with her life. And she's like, yeah. So her stepdad abused her, but her real dad had committed suicide when she was a child, and she always blamed herself for it.
Oh, wow.
And so it just hit me in that moment. And here I am. I'm no prophet. I'm no, super spiritual man. I was just a young kid who made myself available. And I didn't know what I was doing, but God used me in that moment. And so for me, that was like a real definite moment, a defining moment for me of believing that God can use me. and that he will use me if I make myself available. And boldness from then has just developed within me.
And just being that obedience in the moment. Yeah. I want to shift gears just a little bit. There are a lot of people out there who try to either deny that there really is spiritual warfare going on. Mm-hmm. Okay? There is a battle between evil and good. Okay, yeah. They deny it's going on at all. Or they say, you're looking for a devil under every bush. And, you know, my response has always been to that, look, I don't need to look under every bush. I'll just run into it if I'm out in the street ministry. It just happens, you know.
Yeah.
So if you could tell a little bit, give some testimonies in that regard, that there is a supernatural realm, there's a spiritual realm, and there really is a battle going on. And what really is fascinating to me is some of the people that have come out of the occult confirm that that battle is going on. I mean, they're confirming it from an experience with evil, but many Christians are just kind of reticent to say, hey, there's anything happening, you know, on the good side, right? So if you could share some testimonies and experiences.
Yeah, so we were out with our interns in Portland, Oregon at a conference there with a well-known speaker, and you know, it was a conference where people were getting equipped to go and just witness to people. And during that conference, we were sitting outside, our group of young interns, there we were sitting there, and this person came up to us. He was a transvestite, and all tatted up and all kinds of like satanic and occultic tattoos and like other paraphernalia on them, and said, hey, someone prayed for me out there and I want to give my life to Christ. And so immediately I was like, hey, yeah, great, come with me, we'll go. She said I want to come, I want to be a part of the meeting. And so she came with us, and as we were walking and we were talking, so what made you decide that? And she's like, oh, I just saw that they were praying for people and I wanted to be a part of it. And we just got to talking, and then out of nowhere, before we get inside, this person says to me, let's pray. Who's not Christian, who's never given their life to Christ. All of a sudden, it just seemed a little weird, was asking for prayer. It seemed a little bizarre, and something didn't sit right in my spirit. Something inside of me was telling me that this person was not actually here to receive Christ. They were here to cause disturbances and try to do wrong things. And so they put their hand out as to grab my hand, and they tried to grab my hand in such a way, like a claw, in a weird, wow. In a weird, almost symbolic kind of way. And I recognized that. And when she went to go reach for my hand, I grabbed her hand in a firmer grip. And I said, in the name of Jesus, that demonic spirit that's trying to cause disturbances, that's trying to come in here and deceive people, I command you to leave in Jesus' mighty name. And that person immediately got stiff and got really angry, and their face went cold and stark, and they just walked away really fast and made a beeline just straight for the street and never came back. And it was in that moment I began to realize, okay, there's some serious spiritual warfare that's going on. And later on, actually, one of the classes I was teaching, where we have actual people who have come out of Satanism, who have come out of the occult, who have gotten saved and truly, genuinely are following the Lord now, who can confirm even some of the experiences that I've ran into with those who come to try and deceive, that we are in a spiritual battle. You know, even as much as like the hand grip as being a symbolic way of trying to assert authority and dominion over someone. And it was just really interesting how in that moment, and I was so grateful for the Holy Spirit inside of me to reveal to me the discerning of the spirits. And so I think that was might answer your question a little
bit. And with the intentionality of evil, that some of these folks have confirmed that they send people into churches to pose as Christians into churches for the sake of disrupting or trying to, you know, impart evil into that church. And, you know, and I want to be very, very clear here on this point. There are some who give the devil too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
There are. He has no power compared to Jesus Christ. And as Ephesians 2:5 says, if it's under the feet of Jesus Christ, it's under our feet. If we're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in us. I want to be clear about that point. But I think it is important to acknowledge that there is an intentional plan, and they actually send people into churches, and a lot of these people have witnessed to that fact.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to quote Keith Green right now. He's got a song, he says, about the devil, nobody believes in me anymore. And that is the truth. We're living in a day and age where people don't believe that the devil is real, and therefore he has free reign to do whatever he wants. And if we're not paying attention, if we're not sober-minded, we can easily fall prey to these attacks. Like you said, we're not to live in fear about it, but as Christians, we're supposed to rise up. We're supposed to be warriors, ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be the ones who are taking up the sword of the Spirit. We're the ones to put on that. We're in a spiritual battle. Why else would God say to put on the full armor of God? You know, we have to realize as Christians, the battle we are fighting is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. And I think that it's something that, and one of the things that here at Hungry Gen, we are focusing on is really equipping people to become spiritual warriors. We believe we're living, in the last days. You know, we may not know when the last day is, but we're living in that season. And it's time for the people of God to rise up, to understand who they are in Christ, to understand their believer's authority, and begin to assert dominion over darkness.
I completely agree. And I think too often, I mean, this is a war between two kingdoms, but it's not just in one area. I mean, it is in every area of our lives, because we are in the world right now. We are not of the world. It is in our businesses. It is in our marriages. It is in our families. It is in our cities. It is in our government. This war is everywhere. And it's, again, you're not going out to look for it, but you're standing boldly as a Christian. You're going to run into it.
Oh, yeah.
Just going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Countless times, I mean, within our services, we now every month we have a what we call a prayer line, and we have people who come from all over the United States to receive prayer, who have heard about our ministry, who realize that they're fighting spiritual battles. But even before that, during our services, people would just randomly just fall out in the spirit, and another spirit would take over them. And we'd realize, okay, something weird is happening. It's when the presence of God became so thick, darkness had nowhere to hide and began exposing itself. And that just began happening within our church.
I know that freaks a lot of people out, right? But
yeah.
But the fact of the matter is there's a real battle out there. And as Christians, it's very clear we're called into the battle. And I mean, there is battle imagery throughout all of the New Testament and the Old Testament for sure. And it's just amazing to me that it's kind of like this out of sight, out of mind thing. I go to church on Sunday, but I read the Word. I read the Word. Oh, I pray.
Yeah.
Right. But as soon as you get engaged in that battle, man, this is just it's too freaky for me.
Yeah. It's funny, Matt. A couple months ago, I was at the church praying, and as I walked in, I was like, Lord, I just want to spend time with you. I just came in with that heart. I just want to spend time with you. And I went to go pray, and I was up in the front. But the Lord said, no, there's a person here I want you to pray for. And I didn't go up to them. I didn't talk to them to pray for them. I just was praying for them in my own time. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll pray for them as long as you want me to pray for them. I ended up spending a whole hour just praying for them. I don't know why, but I felt it so strongly in my heart to pray for them. And as I'm walking out of the room to go to leave, I go to say hi to this person, and as I go to say hi, this person like dodges my hand as if they don't want to shake my hand. I'm like, oh, that was weird. Maybe I just startled them or something like that, because we're praying and they were praying. So I go to say, hey, is everything all right? And then this deep voice says to me, why were you praying for her? And I was like, oh, okay. And I realized that's why the Lord wanted me to pray for her. And I began to realize, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a spiritual battle happening right now. And had I not prayed, the Lord is speaking to us all the time. The Lord is speaking and wants us to engage in spiritual battle. And oftentimes, because we're just not open, because we're not diligent in our prayer to be ready for those kind of things, we don't encounter them as Christians. The more that we walk in prayer and fasting, the more that we walk in the Word, the more you're going to encounter spiritual things.
Now, I've talked quite a bit about walking in the truth and the Spirit. Part of walking in both is prayer and, not or, and fasting. You guys at Hungry Generation actually take fasting seriously on a regular basis. And if you could, describe that for the listeners and also some of the results of that.
Yeah. So as a ministry, we fast regularly. We fast 3 days every first of the month. Actually, within this month, we're right now we're actually in fasting. I broke my fast today with you at lunch.
At lunch, I was just going to ask. My goodness.
It's okay, though.
Well, forgive me if I was a stomach bug. See, you're listening to Real Christianity on the America Christian Network right before your very ears.
Yeah. But we fast every 3 days of the month. And we're praying and interceding for our city, where we every single week we have corporate morning prayers at 6 a.m. We have almost a whole church size group of people coming at 6 a.m. in the morning every Friday.
Wow.
For the whole entire year. And we just pray and we're interceding for our city, for our nation. Every single day our church is open for prayer from 5 a.m. To 10 a.m. every single morning. And we have people coming through. We have businessmen coming in and praying. We have blue collar coming in and praying. We have all types of people from all different types of walks coming in and just praying within our church. And that's a culture that we've developed within our church. And really, we believe that is what's bringing forth the revival. It's the routines that we've developed within our church that are bringing about revival within our church and within our city. Where, you know, I think of Daniel,
yeah,
you know, as he began praying and fasting, and the angel said to him, "Look, had you stopped praying, I mean, I would have been here earlier." But I was stopped by the Prince of Persia, and had you not continued to pray, I would have not been able to come here. And so I believe, really, quite honestly, the battle that we're in, the only way it's won is by prayer and fasting.
It's amazing too that fasting can take many different forms. Sometimes the Lord can say, "Don't use your cell phone for a week." I want everybody listening out there. Maybe that speaks to you right now. Not using your cell phone for a week, okay? This is an American-type fast. This is a first-world fast.
Yeah. Okay?
Or maybe it's you don't go have coffee,
yeah,
for a week. Or, like you guys, and we try to do this as well, pick 3 days and literally don't eat except for drinking water. That's it. And it's amazing what the Lord does. You clear those things out of your life, and you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, a lot of people say, "I can't hear the Lord clearly." You can hear clearly in those times.
Oh yeah, fasting. I found for myself personally. Some people think, "Oh, if I fast, then I'll get closer to God." It's not about God getting any closer to you.
Right.
He's always here. He's, you know, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. It's not about God coming closer to you when you fast. It's about you being open to hear Him, tuning into the right frequency. In today's day and age, we've got so many things circulating in our minds and in our thoughts and just going in and out that's just garbage. And if you can liken it to a radio, and we have to tune in to that right frequency. And in order to do that, sometimes we gotta shut off all other channels just to get tuned into that one.
Yeah, kind of getting you out of the way, right, so the
yep.
Lord can speak. You know, for all the leaders, pastors, ministry leaders, community leaders that listen to the show, one other thing that I have heard recently, and I thought it was just fantastic, is Jesus Christ used to go by himself alone to pray mm-hmm. and to listen. And we think, I guess, we're immune to that or something. Pastor Andre Shapoval actually said, take 2 days. Take 2 days and go into the you know, into the mountains or wherever your place is, and tune everything else out.
Yeah.
Just like Christ. Do it once a month, 2 days, once a month. It's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievably powerful, especially as leaders, because it's hard. Everybody wants something from you all the time, mm-hmm. to just take that time and say, nope, this is to the Lord.
Yeah.
If you could tell the listeners a little bit about the internship program, how long it lasts, and also there's some young people listening right now, how they might be able to get involved.
Yeah, so our internship coming up in this year, 2019, we have two of them. We have our summer program, which is for teens 14 to 18, and that group starts in on June 24th all the way to August 18th. And then we have our young adults program, which is 18 to 30, and that group starts in the fall, closer to the fall time, at September 24th to December 18th. And so it's roughly the summer one is roughly a month and a half long, and the fall is about 3 months long. These programs, we provide housing, we provide breakfast and lunch, and for those who are going to be a part of the teen internship, we actually even provide a shuttle service to and from the houses to the church. So it's really just a place to really dedicate time to the Lord and be equipped with the right knowledge and be imparted into with the spiritual things. And if you want to be a part of it, you can go to www.hungrygen.com/internship for more information. I want to encourage you guys to come. If you are looking and you're finding in your life that you're just missing something, you're going in your Christian life, but you feel like there's still more for you, I want to encourage you to come. Discover your identity in Christ. Discover who you are and what God wants to do through you. I guarantee it will set you up for the rest of your life. These things are not just so you can become a minister, a pastor, or someone who is working in social work. This is for every believer.
It is for every believer. I appreciate the fact, not just the young folks are involved, but that there's some older folks. Okay, I'm going to put myself in that category, although I don't have too much gray hair yet. Yeah, I'm getting some looks. It's hilarious. But older folks in the congregation as well, what is your message to the older generation? All right, because I think there's a lot of times folks that are in an older generation think the younger generation is never going to listen to them. Why do I even bother? Should I even try? But I think there really is a place for experience and the crown of gray wisdom.
Yeah. The Bible says that old men shall dream dreams, young men will have visions. And revival is not just for the youth. It's not just for the older generations. It's for everybody. Within our church, we actually have a men's group right now in particular that I can think of that is just absolutely exploding, and God is moving in miraculous way. Healings, deliverances, the prophetic is just being released. And these are all older gentlemen, all 40s to 80s, and they are just coming together. And
I told you I was in that camp. I told you. All right.
You know, we found within our church, and that's been kind of the strange thing, is that we've seen is that most people who come to our church say, wow, you have a lot of youth, yet you also have the older generation who's just, it seems like you guys are just melding together. We have a youth ministry, but in the reality of it, there's really no difference. On Sundays, we have youth going up on the stage, as well as even on Wednesdays, we have older people coming up. There's really no difference. They just meld together really well. And we find that the older generation, maybe they find themselves, hey, I can't go out and be out on the streets every day. I found, and I've received personally from the older people in our church, they've been the elders. They're the ones imparting wisdom. They're the ones basically equipping and preparing and developing us youth to go out and be the hands and the feet without the covering of our spiritual fathers within the house, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Right? We all have our part we need to play. You know, one part is not more important than the other, but it's all working together toward that goal of glorifying and honoring Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel, making disciples, showing tangible love to our neighbors, loving the Lord our God, right?
Yeah.
That really touches my heart when you talk about that, and just seeing the impact Hungry Generation is having. In the last 2 minutes, I'm going to take this to the political, okay? Politics is this dirty word, okay? It's like this dirty sock that everybody likes to keep in the dark corner of the closet, okay? Never to come out into the light, all right? Yeah. And I talked today a little bit about, you know, politics really is a ministry. Where do you see how people, especially Christians, should be interacting because of the dirty word of politics? Where should they be interacting?
Honestly, regardless of what avenue we find ourselves in, Christ is still the same in every single area. The mission is still the same. We need to be in politics. We need to be representing Christ in every avenue, in every corner. We have to go to all four corners of the earth. We have to be in every nook and cranny. We have to be the ones leading the way. Quite honestly, I believe that, you know, as Christians, we have to be setting the standard. We have to be the ones that are being the voice for those who are broken. We have to be the ones that are setting things in motion. Like I was saying earlier, city transformation, kingdom transformation, not just on a city level, even on a national level. We have to be the ones that are the city on a hill. A city is not, I believe it's not just a people on a hill, it's a city on a hill. We're talking about a governmental type authority. We have to be in that. We have to be the ones that are really shaping the truth. So,
Bryson Still, Internship Director for Hungry Generation, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May you guys be blessed in your ministry.
Thank you so much.
And for everybody else, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio. Trump's address here in 5 minutes. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.